Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Good evening, Valley Bible Fellowship. How's everybody doing? How could you go wrong with worship like that? Can you give it up for the worship team one more time? Good evening, everybody. We are going to be in Ephesians tonight. So if you have your Bibles on you, we are going to go right into Ephesians. And we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. And us men got back from our men's retreat or conference or whatever you want to call it. That was the biggest confusion this year of what to call it. And it was incredible. And there's a couple of things that we're going to talk about tonight that I feel like God has been really driving home, and handful of things that happened up there at the men's conference. I can't emphasize enough, you know, Gennaro makes the announcements, Pastor Al makes the announcements, I'll come out, I'll make the announcements. And we do try to have some fun with those announcements. And I know that like a men's conference, the idea of a whole bunch of guys getting together, especially if you don't have people that you go to church with, or maybe you don't have it as a guy, if you don't have another guy that, you know, you kind of keep each other accountable, or maybe you're doing church or following Christ, you know, as far as the daily routine, maybe you don't have a guy like that. You're like, going up there all by myself, that's really intimidating. I don't really want to be a part of that. But then when you do take like a step of faith like that, when you go out and you put yourself in an uncomfortable situation, and then God shows up, he meets you at that. It's just, there's something so powerful about that. And so I kind of want to emphasize that here tonight, because we're going to talk about a handful of things that might be uncomfortable for you. But we didn't come here tonight just to have our preconceived ideas, you know, confirm that, hey, you know, hey, there's no maintenance. You guys are doing great. You know, whatever it is, we're here to kind of raise the bar. We're here to be challenged. We're here to see, you know, God, I've been praying all week over a specific thing. Some of you, you know, during worship, God was already moving and speaking to you. For others, you know, you might be in a situation where you're like, man, I really need this guy who's talking up here to reiterate what God's been telling me, or to redirect me. And so it's something that there's a couple of things I feel like I really have to share tonight. I ideally, we're speaking to both people that are online and here. We're speaking to people who are giving God everything that they have. But maybe that's not the case. Maybe there aren't people in here. Maybe this is just a convenient time for you to gather. But I've got to make something really, 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 really clear. The fear of the Lord is just as important as your love for Jesus. To truly understand the power of God, what he's capable of doing, is just as important as you knowing what Jesus did for your and my sin. We can't think that there isn't a God in heaven who flooded the earth. We can't think that there isn't a God in heaven who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of the very evil deeds that they were doing. We can't pretend for a second God doesn't create angels that can wipe out thousands of people in the middle of a night. We can't think for a second that we don't have a powerful God that doesn't put up with sin. He doesn't put up with it. And tonight, what we're going to be discussing is why is it that God has set things up the way that he has set things up? Because we're living in a day and age where it's really easy to find people who are going to tell you what you want to hear. It's really easy that you, I mean, there are people, I can't call them pastors or preachers or teachers because they're not living out the word of God. But there are people that are in church pulpits that are saying things that just reaffirm people's sin life. Well, it's obvious that they're going against Scripture. It's obvious. If you read Scripture, if you have, you know, the information of what the Word of God says, and then you see certain people's behavior, you go, that doesn't line up. And it was, I have a Bible study, and at the Bible study, there was somebody that was talking about a story. We were asking some questions, and he reminded us of a story in Scripture where a guy is told by God to do something. And then a prophet of God comes in and says, hey, it's okay for you to not do the thing that God told you to do. Come and hang out with me. You don't have to do the thing that God told you to do. Well, fast forward to the story. He ends up getting this guy that was told by God to go and do something ends up getting killed. Because instead of listening to God, he only listened. He didn't carry out what God was saying. He listened to what this man, this person who kind of came alongside, and because of his reputation, he said, oh, I should listen to you instead of the Father. I'll listen to you. And there ends up being consequences for his actions. And I know that this is heavy stuff. And so I have an illustration. And I'm not a guy that does illustrations. I did youth for a long time. And I did not really do a whole lot of illustrations. But I saw this illustration online, and I can't help but use it. If you saw it already, congratulations. This is a guitar, okay? This is a guitar. Now, the objective of a guitar is to make music. That's what it was designed for. Now, we live free, and we live in freedom. So technically, you could play the guitar however you would like to. But there are certain rules, certain guidelines that will help you to accurately execute what a guitar was designed to do. This is not how you play a guitar, but sure, in freedom land, where you get to do whatever you want to and live your life the way that you want to, sure, but you're never going to make a sound. But then you can turn your guitar over, and this is the right way to play it. But if it's still not in tune, you're not going to play anything that sounds good. So now you add another restriction to your ability to play the guitar. And so if it's in tune and you've got it displayed properly, well, now you need to learn the chords. Because if you don't know how to play chords, that doesn't sound pretty. But you're playing guitar the way that you wanted to. So after orientating it the right way, and after making sure it's in tune, you follow those two rules, then you learn to actually how to play the guitar, these chords the right way, then little by little, you will be able to eventually play music. And little by little, you will be able to understand that this is the way that you play the guitar. But you had to go and understand the certain rules in order to play the guitar. You couldn't do just whatever you wanted to do, because then you weren't actually playing guitar. You were doing whatever you wanted to do. Does that make sense? And it's so easy to understand it that way, but then when we dive into Scripture and when we hear what God's telling us and we begin to start tearing apart that, hey, the way that we live life is not necessarily the way that God wanted us to live life, well now you're just being religious. Well, now you're just, you know, God goes with the times, and God understands my heart, and God does this, and, you know, he saved me from this fear, because there's that passage in Scripture, the very only single passage in Scripture that says that we're not supposed to be afraid of God anymore, that love casts out fear. But there are so many more scriptures that talk about how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it talks about how you and I are supposed to have an understanding of what God is capable of doing. And then little by little, you will come to know the Father the same way that Jesus knew the Father. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he said, no longer do I call you servants, but friends. And so now let's dive into Scripture here. And we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. Pastor Al ended at verse 12, and we're going to be in verse 13, but I do want to go through the entirety of both 11 or 12 and then into 13. And so we're going to start in verse 11, book of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, "And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ." That's where Pastor Al ended, and tonight we'll continue. "Until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ." Do not worry, church. We're going to break that down, because if you're like me and you read that for the first time, you're like, was that even English? I get it. But last week, Pastor Al talks about how, well, if we're never taught how to do something, how are we expected to know how to do something? I think sometimes, I'm going to say this, I'm going to insult maybe or maybe hurt you, and I'm sorry, but some of us older people assume that this generation under us is lazy because they don't do what they were never taught how to do. But that's the case, right? And you know, I talk to a lot of different people from all walks of life, and you know, I've got two little ones of my own, and you know, they start to get to an age where they technically should know what to do, but does that ever really stop with us? I'm 33, but I've never been 33 before. I don't know what's right and what's wrong. I'm a very immature 33-year-old. I'm a very immature father. I'm a very immature husband. I didn't know if that is right or wrong. You know, and even as I get older, I will constantly need older men to guide me, to believe in me, to push me, to challenge me. But how are we supposed to know how to do these things unless we're taught? And it's okay if you don't know. And then he says, Paul writing, that is the reason that we are given the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip us. But I know that there are some people in here who you've gone to those people and they gave you some advice and you didn't like it. So maybe now you got mad at them and you went to somebody else. It's so funny. I used to deal with that in the youth. We would have however many leaders, and we had that one kid that would go, and they would say the one thing to the leader, and then they would do it again until finally the leader started telling them, you know, because with kids, you got to be really precious, you know, really gentle with them. You're like, it's okay. We'll get it together. Next week, they do it again. It's okay. I mean, maybe just try what I told you. Till like week five, you're like, dude, you're going to hell. Stop. And so once they started hearing that from that leader, then they would go to another leader and they'd wear that one out and they'd do that and they'd wear that one out. And there was literally kids who would just keep doing that cycle over and over and over again. And then they stopped going to church and they blame it on us because it was our fault because we were trying to help them and guide them and equip them. That might be you. You might be on leader number one, prayer person number one. Well, they prayed for something you didn't really agree with. So now you're going to prayer person number two. But if we were to believe for a second that God has established people in positions in the church to equip us, to challenge us, and that's what Paul's writing and communicating. Now, I want to break this verse 13 down a little bit because right out the gate, he's talking about the importance of why this would be happening and the equipping, because there's eventually going to come a time where we all attain to the unity of the faith. There is going to come a time where we attain to the unity of the faith. The word attain means to arrive. At some point, we are going to arrive. This unity is a word that means agreement. And the word faith, religious belief of Christians. So to restate that, until we all arrive to the agreement of the religious beliefs of Christians. funny how Paul would have to write that. Like, why shouldn't we just get that? We receive the Holy Spirit. We should just understand it. Well, we're hard-headed human beings. There's a passage in Scripture that talks about how wisdom can come from those who don't have to learn from their own mistakes, but they learn from others. But we don't really believe that, do we? I mean, I got a 3-year-old son, and I'm like, don't touch that. That's hot. And he like looks at me. He's like, how hot though? Like, what does that mean to you? And we do that, right? It's the whole, like, you know, age old, like, don't touch that button. Don't press that button. Don't look through that hole. Don't look at that thing. And we're just like, well, now there's nothing else on the planet I'd rather do. And so there is going to come a time where we arrive at an agreement of our beliefs. And then I would like to look at Ephesians chapter 4 just to kind of break this down a little bit. Chapter 4, verse 3, it's the unity of the Spirit. It says, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of spirit. The closest I've ever been to a moment like that was at one of our nights of worship. And I shared it, I think, the Wednesday after that, I think I spoke. And just when we were all in that same room together and we were praying over specific things, but we were all unified in it. We wanted whatever that specific person was praying for, we wanted that for our own lives. And if we were to gather together every Wednesday or every Sunday and that we would all come to agreement, something God changed my mind on when it came to my prayer life was, I like to be very detailed. I like to know details. And so when I would pray, I'd pray very detailed. And so I start, you know, if I was praying for you, I'd start, you know, orchestrating your day. And I'm like, God, I pray that this would happen at this time and this would happen at that time. And I started getting all detailed until finally God was like, just start praying that they would know me better. Because then that's anything, right? That's a car accident. I know, that's a little rough. I mean, that could literally be anything. But so that the end result would be that we would know God better. Because that is essentially the point, that we would all be able to come together. And in agreement, we're like, yes, God, whatever you need to do. Because if God puts us through a situation that seems too difficult, like a cancer or a health scare or something that we don't see, well, if we're really like God's trying to bring us closer to him, well, then at some point, God's got to show up in that. So even though it's a difficult season or situation that we're in, if we've been praying, And the end result is that we would know God better, then we're going to get God at the end of this. But if we're sitting there praying for financial security, and all of a sudden we don't have finances anymore, or we lose our job, that doesn't necessarily bring us closer to God anymore, does it? No, it starts making us attack God. And some of us might be in that situation where we're thinking, well, yeah, God, I told you to take care of me in this situation and you left me by myself. Why would I pray to you again? I'll keep showing up to church, but why would I pray to you again? Well, that's not the end result, is to have more money or have that car or that house or live in that city. The end result is God. That we would always go after God. And that's what Paul's saying here, that we would be unified in that because we're going to arrive there, the unity of the Spirit. And then he continues and he says, he makes a point of the knowledge of the Son of God. In looking these words up, that word knowledge, it says of his holy will and of the blessings which he has bestowed and constantly bestows on you and I through Christ. So that we would have an understanding of his holy will and of the blessings that he is trying to bestow on us. So not only is Paul talking about the importance of these people in our lives equipping us, but he's saying that the end result is that we would arrive in knowing what we believe in and seeing God's will for our lives. And you got mad because they prayed something you didn't like. Could that be why the prayers, your life, whatever your circumstances are, they haven't changed yet? Well, I was just waiting to go over to Susie Q because Susie Q, I heard she prays for things that you want to hear. Or I was going to go over to this church because this church, they know me a little too much. And so depending on how tonight went was going to determine if I went to another one so I could wear them out too. And Paul is saying, no, there's a reason for the body of Christ. And we know this information. We know that God has built up the body of Christ with Jesus at the head. We know this. This is common sense to us. But sometimes we just forget it. And let's continue. What is this? To know his will, to know about the blessings in which he bestowed. If you can look at John chapter 6, verse 69. It says, we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God, is what one of his disciples says. Can you say that you truly know that Jesus is the Holy One of God? Or is he just someone whose birthday we're about to celebrate and whose resurrection we celebrate in spring? Because this is the point of it. The point of why you're going through what you're going through, whether good or bad, is so that we would truly know that Jesus is who he says he is and that the Father is capable of doing what only the Father can do. Because we can't forget that Jesus came to the earth on behalf of the Father. The Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, came to the earth and one day returns and returns soon, because the Father is the one who's orchestrated it. And what is the Father capable of? He's the one who's going to unleash the wrath at the end of it all. We can't forget that. And please, I am not saying fire and brimstone. I am not saying that. I am not trying to scare you into heaven by any means. But sometimes when we are praying things for people and we feel weak, just remember who your Father is. That his Spirit he sends to live within you and I, so that our prayers sound so much better than, God, give me a good day. That we would understand that there is a God in heaven who is capable of some of the craziest things that the world has ever seen. And he will stand in the gap for us through Jesus Christ. I want to continue because it talks about this mature man in verse 13. We understand about what it is to attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. But what is this mature man? If we can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, talks about it there. It says, brothers and sisters, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. It's really plain and simple. Grow up. There's passages of scripture that talk about how we're not supposed to have that crude, young, stupid joking anymore. It's supposed to grow up. It talks about how the church, there are certain churches that, you know, by now you should have been capable of eating spiritual meat, but still, you're babies that need milk. You need to be reminded of these certain things. Like, no, by this point in your life, you should be the person up here praying for people, not the person who's getting prayer. We know some of those people, right? Like, you have those people in your life. If that is you, it's just rise to the challenge. Start believing in the Savior, that what he's done is you are no longer a sinner. You're saved. You're no longer someone who is messed up. I mean, yeah, you might be messed up. Sure, we all are. Gennaro talked about it when he was praying. I've got my own stuff. I'm just, you know, I can't bring it up right now. Look how many you are. But it's just, I mean, come and talk to me. I'll share with you where I've fallen short as a husband, where I've fallen short as a dad, where I've fallen short as a brother or a son. It happens pretty frequently. But our main focus, Colossians 3:2, keep your mind on things above and not on earthly things. Why do we do that? We keep our mind on us all the time. So what if you're ugly? Get over it. so what if these things have happened to you? Move past it, because the Father is trying to draw you out. He's trying to bring you in and say, dude, you are so much more capable of amazing things than you ever thought that you could be. And still you'll sit in those same seats and not do a darn thing when we've got kids. Do you know that we have kids in our youth ministry that are part of the foster system that literally will get dropped off here? They need you. They need you to love them and believe in them. They need you to encourage them. But Tom, those kids are hellraisers. They are. They absolutely are. Remind them of who God created them to be, though. And we'll only know that because we have lived it, right? Like, we're not supposed to be like testing God, right? We're not supposed to be like, hey, God, I'm about to snort this cocaine. What are you going to do? It's like, it's not anything like that. And we shouldn't see what God lets us get away with by any means, because he's still a father of wrath. He still is capable of doing things that will affect us in crazy ways, right? Like, you've read Revelation, I hope. It talks about liars going, not making it into heaven. So, and then all these other things. And the Bible is very specific. And this idea that God is so powerful, if you are brand new to the faith, you should be terrified of him. But if you've been walking with the Lord, that terror begins to turn into something else. And parents, you know that look, because you've seen it in your kids. Like that moment, like obviously every single parent in here, like you can mess around with your kids, throw them up in the air, take them out to get some ice cream. You're having fun with them. But then they act out. And usually I've seen this with dads. I haven't seen it with moms so much, but it doesn't mean that moms can't do it. Dads, all you got to do sometimes is stand up and walk towards them, and then they'll just shut down, right? Because they know what you're capable of. But still then, you'll pick them up. You'll get them stuff for their birthdays. You'll have fun with them. You'll encourage them. You'll support them at their games. You'll support them in their endeavors. You'll help them in finding their future spouse to make sure they're not dating scumbags. You'll make sure. But whenever they begin to pop off and start acting the way that you know them not to be, you stand up. And they shut down. And in the same way that we would become friends with God, but not so much that we would lose that reverence for him. That we go, God, hey, listen, we're cool. I know that. But I wouldn't ever want to do something that would put a division between you and I. And then all you scriptural people will be like, no, there's nothing that can separate the love of the Father from us. No, you're right. There isn't. But we can make it really difficult here on earth. It doesn't say that nothing will ever divide us. Because that's actually, scripture says that one day there is hell. There is a location for those that Jesus says, I never knew you. Now, does that mean that God himself, the creator of us, knows every hair on our head, still doesn't know who we are? No. It's not about him knowing us. It's those intimate moments together where you and I, we would go back and forth with him. God, I've been a good employee. Why would this thing happen to me at my job? And you have that dialogue. God, I screwed up. I know that I should have done something different as far as, you know, doing something for my wife for her birthday. I screwed up. I didn't. Guide me. I know that I shouldn't have yelled at my kids like that, but I did it, God. Guide me. To where little by little, you and him are starting to know each other more and more and more and more and more. And that's the idea. And it's going to take getting prayer from people. It's going to take you calling up one of the pastors or coming in and getting some sort of counseling, spiritual counseling. It's going to take some sort of you getting involved in a small group. It's going to take some sort of you extending yourself. Because little by little, as you begin to make those changes, no, me and God are good. It's just me and him. I don't have to come to church. I don't have to get involved. I don't have to, you know, get involved with people around there. I don't have to do any of those things. Me and God are good. It's like you trying to play the guitar and it's not set in the right orientation. Or maybe you have it flipped around just right, but you don't know how to tune it. You don't know how to play it. You don't know how to play guitar. You don't know how to be a Christian. It's really that simple. So Tom, where do we go from here? Talk to him. Lean into him. Believe in him for something. God wants every single one of us to succeed in knowing him. It's a hard life to live. You know how many things we are out of control of? Simply, like, I don't want to scare anybody, but like food preparation. When you go and order food, you're just assuming they didn't spit in it. You're just assuming. Like, that's a terrible thought. Hair? Like, don't even get me started. I ate a burrito one time, looked down, there was a hair. Haven't been back to that place ever since. There's so little that we are not in control over. But if we lean into God, and we start our days out and we're just, Father, lead me. Father, guide me. Men, if I can challenge you, be the men that God is needing for you to be. Lead, pray, seek his face, set the standard that you're supposed to set. Seek him. Seek him. There's a reason why the church is established. And my prayer for you is that you wouldn't be feeling less than right now. But my prayer for you is you say, okay, I know where to go now. I know what I need to do. Some of you, you might be doing a great job. You're coming in here and you're like, I've done all that. Solid, great, perfect. Keep going. Keep going. You're a light. Keep going. For anybody else, they're like, I knew this. Well, that's a good reminder. Cool. Then God used me. That's fantastic. If this is brand new to you, you've never heard this before, start simple. When I would read scripture and I would see that these guys and gals were just having conversations with the Lord and then writing them down, I was like, that's my standard. I'm not going to settle for this. Well, I think he said this. So I encourage you to do the same. Learn how to hear the Father's voice. It says that the sheep know the voice of their shepherd and they follow it and they don't follow anybody else's. It's as simple as that. How do you learn to hear his voice? Well, you spend that time with him. If you think you heard him say something, then go and do that thing. Do it. Text that person. Go to lunch with that person. And watch how God moves in your life, and little by little, you'll develop that. Let's end in prayer. If you would, please bow your heads and we'll pray this. Father, we just thank you that you're patient with us. Father, the time is soon that you are going to return. Seems like every day, God, it just gets weirder and weirder. The world is calling things that are evil good and things that are good evil. But I pray for strength over every single person that can hear my voice right now. Strength. Strength to do what you are asking us to do. Boldness to step into those things. Father, like you spoke to me, wherever it is that we're at, whether it's a good place or it's a bad place, use it to bring us closer to you. If there's people here tonight, Father, that need to give their lives to you, give them strength in their legs to walk to the front and get that prayer. If there are people here that are weak from carrying these burdens, give them the ability and the strength and the confidence to get that prayer up here at the front. But thank you, God, for being patient with us. Thank you for always having the answer. And thank you for how simple it is for us to know you and lean into you. We love you, God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Have a great rest of your night, guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.